During the time of the Taliban in Afghanistan, women there had to keep themselves concealed under burqas. All adornment was outlawed. So the people who recently opened a beauty school in Kabul thought that interest might be slight. But they had to hold a lottery for the first 20 spots, and today more than 400 Afghan women are on a waiting list to enroll in the Kabul Beauty School. Patricia O'Connor is a marketing consultant in New York. She helped establish the school. Ms. O'Connor, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And of all the things Kabul needed, why the beauty school?
A couple of reasons. I think the primary reason is we wanted to sort of find a way to sort of help the Afghan women and provide them the tools they need to sort of sustain themselves. And we knew that they, even during the Taliban, were making a living underground doing beauty-related work. And so we knew that there was, you know, a potential there for them to make more money in this industry. So we wanted to give them the tools to do that. And the second reason is beauty in of itself is a great way for women to sort of come together and help each other and heal each other. And we felt that we provide the women with the right tools and the right background and the right education through the skills that we gave them. Not only would they be able to earn money for themselves, but also the women that came into contact with them would actually, you know, they would help heal them and help them feel better about themselves.
I guess we know now that during the time of the Taliban, there were Afghan women in considerable numbers who would come together clandestinely and groom themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, basically, during the Taliban time, the women basically would meet in choir in secret in various houses and for the purpose of basically, you know, grooming themselves, having their hair done, makeup done, whatever. And the women that we met and that we spoke to, and I asked them questions like why they would do that or why they would take such risk, obviously because it was a great risk at the time to do that with the Taliban in power, they basically said that it was really the only way for them to meet with other women and that it really sort of, you know, provided them sort of hope in very, very dark times. And it was a way for them to sort of, you know, keep a sort of, you know, a lightness to their situation. So it was really important to them.
Kabul Beauty School, it occurs to me, opened its doors not too long after a time when Afghan women could be beaten, could be thrashed just for wearing nail polish. You must have had some people who were concerned about going to a beauty school.
Yeah, we did actually. Obviously, I mean, there was certainly hesitation. And there was also women that, you know, perhaps did want to come to school but felt that maybe their husbands or sort of the men in their family wouldn't approve. So there was definitely a resistance on some levels. And partly, I think, based on fear, you know, because no one was secure as to what was really going to happen next and were the Taliban really gone for good and, you know, things like that. So we did encounter that. What we found personally was that if we actually met with sort of the husbands and the fathers of the students and spoke to them and told them about what the school was about and what the curriculum was about and why we felt we could help, that really seemed to sort of break down the fear barrier and that the men became as supportive in their wives or daughters going to school. And that really was a kind of a great breakthrough and a really important part of the success of the school.
Can you tell us about maybe some individual stories about people in your school?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have, you know, one of our students who basically, she hadn't been let out of her house in 8 years. And, you know, basically said that she had got to a point where she was incredibly bored and very depressed and felt very lonely. And she'd heard about the program and really, really wanted to come. And her husband had at first said no. And that's when we went to visit him. And basically afterwards, he agreed to let her come, you know, with a lot of reservation, but he decided to let her come to school. And she basically said that, you know, having been able to come to school, she feels her whole life has been transformed and that she's happy and she feels that now she has a future. And she believes that one day, not too soon in the future, her husband will actually allow her to open up a salon outside the home because he can now see just how great her work is and how much better she's getting. And that her goal is to become, you know, a professional and famous hairdresser and that she believes that's going to happen for her. And this is somebody who felt they had nothing left in their life really worth living for.
So she's convinced she can be a kind of Frederic Fekai for Kabul?
Absolutely. These women are very ambitious. they're incredibly ambitious. I mean, we asked them stories. We said to them, you know, how are you getting new clients? How are you letting people know that you have these new skills? And these women are incredible. I mean, one woman got up and said that what she did was she cut her daughter's hair, sent her to school, and all the teachers in the school and the principal wanted to know where her daughter got such a great haircut from. And from that, she now has all these teachers and principals as clients.
Yeah, 400 people students at the moment?
Yeah, on the waiting list. And that's kind of the challenge moving forward. You know, we really want to build on the success of the school. And part of building on the success of the school is we want to sort of extend and open up a training clinic so that the students, when they qualify, can then spend sort of 4 months working in a real sort of salon environment so they can really understand how a business operates. So we'd like to extend the program that way. And eventually, you know, the great thing about the beauty industry, if you stimulate it the right way and you provide the right tools, is there's not just, they don't just can be hairdressers or whatever. Some of them might become product distributors and deliver products. Some of them might become bookkeepers for all the salons in the area. Some of them might start, you know, working on ingredients to develop their own product lines. I mean, there's so many different ways you can go in this one industry.
Are there jobs in a beauty industry in Kabul at the moment for people to graduate from your school?
Yes. In fact, quite it's amazing. You know, there's weddings every day of the week in Kabul, many of them. People will need to feel better about themselves and will spend a little bit of the money or whatever to make that happen. And these women are able to provide, you know, really good services at this point. You know, we have women that are making, you know, $40, $50 a week in a country where the average wage is only $30 a month through their hairdressing skills. And they're in big demand.
Ms. O'Connor, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Patricia O'Connor is a marketing consultant in New York City and one of the people behind the Kabul Beauty School.